a prophetic word given to us regarding this place. I don't want to share the whole thing again, but here he goes. Romans 5, verse 2. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Everybody say, yay.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, the message title of the day is Moving Day. And in our Bible narrative, the Christmas story is about a moving day. And really what it's about is Jesus moving from heaven to earth. Now, I don't know about you, but when we moved, and Nick and Emmy moved recently, when we moved, we had all this stuff. And we pack up a moving van with all the stuff from one house, and we move all the way. We moved 22 years ago. We moved all the way from California, and we had a moving van come, and they loaded up, and then we had to get a bunch of people and unload all this stuff, and we put it in our new place. Some people in the military, they maybe have a duffel bag full. And you just load up a little bit, you know, and they got everything they need, personal items and clothing and things like that, and then automatic weapons, whatever, you know, just kidding. But they got them in a duffel bag, and they move. Well, when Jesus moved, he unpacked. I want to look at this scripture right on the back of your notes. Just turn that over for a minute. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up. Everybody say, gave up. He gave up his divine privileges. He took on the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, we'll come back to the rest of that later. So I want to go ahead and talk about, in this Christmas story, we see these different purposes of God, God's purpose. The first purpose is God calls for relocation. In the Christmas story, we see God calling for relocation. And the first one, of course, is Jesus himself leaving heaven's glory behind and coming to earth, leaving everything that gave him privilege of being God and coming down to earth as a man. Even though he was God, the part he brought as God was that he was sinless. But the part, everything else he did as a man submitted to the Holy Spirit's power. Isn't that incredible? And so he modeled for us what we can do under the Holy Spirit's enablement and empowerment. But he left behind all the privileges. He unpacked all of that and said, I'm not carrying that with me. I'm stripping down and I'm going to come as a little sinless baby into this world. Hallelujah. Everybody say moving day. And Jesus comes, and as we celebrate Advent, we think of God's moving day. God's relocation from heaven to earth. It was also a time when Mary and Joseph relocated. By the way, before we jump to that, I think I put the verse on your paper there. It says, I love this out of the message. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And that's the essence of the gospel. When God wants to impact the neighborhood, he says, I want you to come and move into the neighborhood and represent who I am. And bring about the love that he has for people. Amen? Everybody say amen. Now, we also have, I'll go ahead and read the story, Luke 1, 26 through 35. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be called holy, the Son of God. And this is about Jesus coming. I want to say the other thing, too. You know, of course, it's because this is we moved all the stuff last week into this place, and now this is our first service, and this is our moving day, and we're moving in, and we're getting familiar with the place. But I want to tell you the ultimate relocation in the heart of every person. It's this. It's really not a long distance. It's a short distance, but it's a major distance. It's almost about 11 inches or so. It's the difference between knowing about God in your head and having a relationship with Him in your heart. And this is the relocation that God is looking for. Moving day is when a person says, hey, I knew about Him, but now I know Him. I once was hanging out with people who knew Him, and then I had to find out for myself, and now I know Him in my heart. Everybody say, relocation. And we bring about the desire for the love of God in people's hearts, so they'll know. How many of you know that you had stuff? You had bad stuff. Okay, really bad stuff. Stuff you didn't want anybody to know about. And the Lord already knows about it. How many of you felt disqualified? And you were around people that were judgmental. And it wasn't fun. And you were the most judgmental. Because you had stuff. And then you come into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you find out He took your stuff. He took your stuff. And He put it on Him. And He lived the life you could not live. And now He's died for you the death you could never die. And now relocation is right from here to here. From your head knowledge now to revelation and reality of His love for you. And this Christmas, we're asking for that relocation. For that people would come into that saving reality of who Jesus is. Listen, I don't know about you, but there's been a whole lot of my areas of my life that I've finally learned how to navigate under the Lordship of Jesus. You might have some things in your life that this Christmas the Lord's saying, I'm going to help you relocate some stuff under His Lordship. Is that good news? Hallelujah. Well, I preach myself happy just for one moment. Number two, Christmas story reveals God's purposes that stretches us out of our comfort zone. Oh, my God. Has anybody... Now, Heather and I have been stretched. I feel like I want to go ahead and say thank you for all those sleepless nights and those tears and all this. Can I tell you something, honey? Stretching has to do with being pregnant with something. And in the Christmas story, God's purpose was birthed in the young lady. And it was Jesus. And she had the stretch marks to show it. And when you're walking God's purpose and carrying it what He wants, it stretches you. It causes you to go with places you wouldn't go before. Anybody here? Now you can stay small-hearted and of little purpose and not really carry out what God has for you. But when you're going to walk into the destiny God has for you, you're going to be stretched. You know, I'm just not getting enough amens today. Anybody say something? Just whatever. Say hot dog. You know, anything. I know you're soaking it up. Anybody enjoying just... How many of you have been stretched? When you receive the Lord, when that relocation happens and you start being stretched, guess what happens? Your spirit starts to hunger for the Word of God. And one of the changes, I've seen this, when ladies get pregnant, their appetite starts to change. Is that right? And they will start wanting stuff. I don't understand your desire for pickles. Or something different. I don't know, a gallon of ice cream. Why, my. Or just some other food. But they're eating things that are apparently feeding the life within them. Is that right? Feeding the life within them. Is anybody catching the point of this, that when you're born again, the Holy Spirit says, oh, you got a new life within you, you got to feed this thing. And if you don't feed it with the Word of God, you don't feed it with time with the Lord, you don't feed it, it's the growth is stunted. Are you there? It's not time to go on a fast when you have a baby inside. Are you there? You need to feed it. And the Lord wants us to feed deeply, richly upon the Word of God. Is that right? Praise the Lord. Also, the stretching is not only just the feeding, but this is one of the areas that I've been stretched in. Just growing in the Lord. The Christmas story is about a person that is pursuing God and is being stretched. They're relocated. Here, you got Joseph and Mary, and they're relocated. They go from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, and then they end up over in Egypt, and then they go back up to Nazareth again. They're relocated three times. And all that stretching. Oh, that's a big stretch on somebody, isn't it? Let me tell you one of the biggest stretches I've had. Forgiveness. When you grow up in the Lord, the greatest gift that God has brought to the planet is forgiveness through the cross. Forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus. People are hung up in bitterness for decades until Jesus comes into their life and empowers them to forgive. You don't have to have the Lord to forgive, but the epicenter of forgiveness is the cross of Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are. You can get every other religion other than Christianity, because Christianity is a relationship. Every other one, here's the essence of it. Are you ready? Here it is. Try harder. That's it. Try harder. Every religion other than a relationship with Jesus, you go ahead and try harder now. Would you please try harder? Because you're trying to get accepted. You're trying to get accepted by God. And you got two sides. You got the religious over here and the irreligious. And here's what happens. This irreligious side over here, you end up judgmental. You're full of religion. You're full of meanness. You're full of judgmentalism. You're over here. Over this one, I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to live on any way I want to. And maybe God will forgive me. We'll figure out later on. I'm going to just live. Those are the two. But in the middle. In the middle is the application of the gospel of Jesus. And coming in, and the Lord says, you know, you've been wounded by certain things, and I want to ask you to forgive those people. And you say, and here's the biggest thing I've discovered. So many people have never learned to forgive themselves and receive the forgiveness of Jesus to their own past. And this is a big stretch to actually, when you start arguing with the Lord about His forgiveness is not enough for you, you're really telling the Lord that He's a liar. And that's not good. Is anybody here? So you want to tell the Lord, Lord, you're really a liar because your forgiveness is not enough for me to forgive myself. What you've done is really not enough. I want to ask you to let your heart be stretched and receive the depth. The depth. Because there's no freedom in saying, well, I know it's all up there, Lord, but you know, we know that I just really carry shame about those things in my life. And the Lord says, why? Because I went to the cross to break the power of this off your soul. I want you to stretch in the fullness of the freedom. So just like a little kid, unhindered love before the Lord. Let this be the Christmas where you're stretched into the fullness of God's forgiveness. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to say this too. And I forgiveness. Back to the whole thing about the stretching and the pregnancy. Isn't being pregnant a creative work? And in any creative work, doesn't it get messy before it gets better? God says, let there be light. And He says, and there was chaos. It was form. It was idea. Oh my God, everything was messed up, right? And then He says, let there be light. And He starts to put things in order, right? How many of you, if you come home and the kitchen isn't messy, there's no dinner? Nothing to eat because there's nothing. There's not a mess yet. How many of you know after you eat, you got to clean up a mess, right? How about with construction? With construction. Oh, baby, with construction. The stretch is that it gets messy before the creation is complete. How many of you know that the Lord's going, I want to work on your heart. I want to remodel some things inside of you. And it's going to get messy before it gets better. What I'm going to do, I'm going to dismantle some things. I'm going to go here and read. How many know Jesus is a carpenter and He understands how to rebuild your heart? And He can do that. How many of you have had Him do some reconstruction on you? Just look around and just say, you know what? I remember you when, before God got a hold of you. Is it right? Praise the Lord. Guys, we're way ahead. This is awesome. Here's the one question, a probing question for you. It's on your notes there. Let's contemplate on this and take this with us. How is God stretching you this season? What is he doing in you this season that you might even be shying away from? And the Lord says, no. Until we get this settled, what I have for you is not going to happen over here. You've run into those before, haven't you? How come I don't feel like I can go into what God has for me? God says, because I'm trying to stretch you into a new place here. And until you allow him to work in your life here, this over here is not going to happen. Isn't that the truth? Some secret place in your life where the Lord says that you've actually opened the door for the adversary to have a point of control. How many of you heard the statement, partial confession brings partial deliverance? Full confession before the Lord brings full deliverance. When we're hiding in our lives in the dark, things don't come forth. When we circumvent the fullness of what he has for us in our future. But the Lord wants to break open those areas and say, look, there's nothing to be afraid of. I've already died for all of that. I've already paid the price for all of that. I've already empowered you to live above that. It's just this. Will you allow the love for Jesus to grow so deeply? Ah, oh, man, this is amazing. Our affection for the Lord is such a key to everything. Our walking with the Lord and having a desire for Him and Him empowering us is a key to everything. Let Him stretch us all this Christmas into a new season of fullness. Amen? And lastly, number three, walking in God's purpose results in rewards for the obedient. Results in rewards. When we walk in His purpose, He says, I'm calling you to some relocation in your life. When we walk in His purpose, He says, I'm going to stretch you into some new places so that my life can be birthed and brought forth through you, because it's moving day. But there's also, in the Christmas story, there's also a resulting reward. I love this part. Matthew 2, you're going to see two different things happen. Matthew 2, 13, 11. Yeah, here it is, 11. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down. These are the wise men. They fell down and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Here's two things that happen here. Number one, everybody say, the results, the reward of obedience is provision. Provision, because now we'll see how there was protection for Mary and for Joseph and Jesus as well. But what happened? The protection came to the wise men because they were walking in obedience. The protection came. They were warned in a dream. Here's another insight, and you'll see this over and over and over biblically. Whenever you obey the Lord, there's going to come two dynamics. There's going to be people who are for you, and there's going to be the other ones. There will be people who are against you. They're anti whatever it is you're doing, because the adversary stirs up the spirit of Herod, and there comes a desire to kill off what God is doing. But here's what the Lord has for the reward of the obedient. Protection. Everybody say, protection, hallelujah. And then Matthew 2, 13 through 15. Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child and destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt shall come a son. But when Herod died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in the dream to Joseph, saying, rise, take the child and go to the land of Egypt, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee and went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. So we have the Lord's protection. How many of you need protection? To be protected by the hand of the Lord. When you're obedient, the reward, when you're walking in the Lord's way and you're doing things according to Him, and I want to just go ahead and say, real obedience is really empowered by the Lord inside of you anyway. You give a willingness. You come with a willingness, but the Lord comes with the ability to follow through. Are you there? How many of you know you run out of gas pretty quick? You know, he took your old nature, which was a jalopy. He gave you a new nature, which is a Lamborghini, right? And now, but the whole thing is fueled by the gas called grace. And if without the grace, you're not going to get anywhere. And the grace is your empowerment to really rev it up and go. And without the grace of God, you won't get there, right? And grace is not just the forgiveness or washing away of some. It's the empowerment to live. Jesus was full of grace and truth. And grace is really saying, I'm going to love you no matter what. Isn't that wonderful? And truth is going to, guess what? I'm going to tell you the truth no matter what. I'm going to be honest with you no matter what. And you need both. You need both. Now, we're coming to the end here, but I want to just say, when it comes to rewards, I think I have this one in there with you. Hebrews 11:6. Would you read this aloud and from your notes? And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And there are five crowns. There's an imperishable crown. And the imperishable crown is given to those who run the race and put to death those areas of their flesh that distract and end up leading others by their example. Everybody say, I want an imperishable crown. Because God is the giver of rewards. Number two, there's the crown of rejoicing. And the crown of rejoicing is when you share the gospel and somebody comes to the Lord. And you receive a crown of rejoicing that others have come to Christ through your life. Everybody say, I want a crown of rejoicing. These are the rewards. There's also the crown of life. The crown of life is the crown for those believers who endure trials and tribulations and persecutions. This is also given to the martyrs, those who die, who die for the Lord. But there's a crown called the crown of life that is given to those who endure. Everybody say, God is a rewarder of those who seek him. And when you walk through the fires, when you walk through those things, God says, I'm giving you a reward. I'm going to give you a crown. There's also another crown. There's a crown of righteousness. It's those who love his appearing. This is an amazing thing. It's those that wait patiently because they want to see Jesus and they know that he's coming for them. And because they're looking for his appearing, they walk uprightly. And you begin to walk in a way that is so transformative for you because you have a longing for his appearing. And then when you meet up with the Lord, he gives you the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. And there's one more. How many of you think that that's enough right there, right there? How many want an imperishable crown of running the race? How about the crown of rejoicing of bringing someone else to run the race with us? How about the crown of life going through the trials? How about the crown of righteousness where you love his appearing? There's one more, the crown of glory. The crown of glory is for anyone who teaches someone else to mature in Christ. It's given, the context of it is pastoral ministry. But it's anybody, literally, who takes the lead on helping another person grow up and take on the life of Christ. Everybody say, crown of glory. Let's praise the Lord together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, brother. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because there's another moving day as well. And I said all those crowns because of an ultimate other day. Jesus, by the way, when he came down, the scripture, the ending of that scripture on the back of your notes, it says, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name. I think your scripture is probably a different version, but that's okay. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's one more moving day I want to talk about. And everybody has it. Everybody's going to have a moving day. And you know what I'm talking about. Jesus came from heaven to earth so that on his moving day and returned to heaven, taking his blood into the heavenlies and giving us the ability to be washed from our sins so that when we come to the end of our life, we have a successful moving day. And we move from this life to eternity with Him. But would you lift your heads? Close your eyes just for a moment. I just have a witness in my heart. The Lord is bringing people to your mind right now that need Him. Let's pray for them right now. Let's go ahead and intercede. That there are folks that, if their moving day came, they would not go into His presence because they do not know Him. But right now we want to ask, Lord Jesus, save. Lord Jesus, save. We claim their soul for You. Let's praise Him. We claim their soul for You. We thank You in advance for the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, wrap around those that are broken. Wrap around those that are needy. Wrap around those that are bound. Wrap around them in Jesus' name. Come and, Lord, bring Your love upon them. Bring Your love into their life. Bring Your love. Lord, this whole community, we claim it for Jesus Christ. We claim every soul around here for the glory of God. We ask You, Lord, we ask You, Lord, we ask You, Lord, to move by Your Spirit, by Your love, by Your power. Come and flood this community with the love of God. Come and flood it. Come and flood it with the saving grace of Jesus. Let's praise the Lord together. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And on our final moving day, you won't be taking anything with you. You won't be packing up stuff from here. So now's the time to store up your treasures in heaven. Now is the time to say, there's a reward coming. And I want to tell you what you're going to do with the crowns. You're going to cast them at Jesus' feet. You're going to say, thank You, Lord, for empowering me to live a life in Christ. That I could come and not only know You, but gather those together to know You. And there would come, no matter what trial comes in my, I'll walk through the fire because You're with me in the fire. Amen. And there's a glory that the Lord wants to pour out on you now. And there's a fresh anointing for you now. Let's just set everything aside. And let's just go after Jesus. Lord, I pray for this congregation. I pray for those visiting today. And I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit come with a fresh empowerment in our life. Hallelujah. Just open up to Him right now. Open up to Him right now. Open up right to. I feel like the Lord's already releasing a healing work and a cleansing work and just a touchy. Just open up your heart. Say, Lord, what He's talking about, I want that. I want that. I want that. The Holy Spirit's here. He's here. He's like there's some stuff that He wants to offload. So you don't have to carry that around anymore. You don't have to have that in your bag. There's a healing presence of the Lord right here. We've been talking about that. Praise Your name. Praise Your name. Just go say, Lord, help me here. Lord, help me here. Lord, say, Jesus, I need Your help. I want to offload this stuff. I don't want to carry it anymore. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. I want to ask those who... There's a few people that are going to be standing right up here at the end. And I want to invite them to come right now. And as we close, we're going to have some time of fellowship. If you have an area of your life that you want to have some prayer, I'll put this up here. Swing back up. To pray, you're saying, Lord, I need some agreeing prayer. Then we have these people here to just agree in prayer with you, okay? Because I believe that the Holy Spirit, every single time we gather, the Holy Spirit wants to do something special and unique in our hearts. Are you with me? The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's love on each other, church.